Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Freedom goes beyond Sunday morning. Freedom goes beyond the day you get saved. There's a lot of freedom yet to be had. And so I want to not only get free, I want to stay free. And I want to walk continually into the freedom that Jesus died to give us. So I want all of us in the next 3 or 4 weeks to identify, even today, identify somewhere where we're not free. Maybe we're not free in our relationship and there's some things going on there. Maybe your money's tight and you're in massive debt and you need freedom there. Or maybe, just maybe, you've got a spiritual attack going on inside or on you and you need freedom. Maybe you've got a drug addiction. Maybe you've had a cigarette addiction for 15 years. I'm here to tell you, I believe God's presence and God's word can break that stronghold through his word today and this series. So I just need somebody to just declare, I'm getting free in every part of my life. Turn to your neighbor and tell them freedom isn't free. Stand on your feet for the reading of the word, and I'm going to need my word. It's right there. Kat, if you'll bring me that laptop, and if you'll bring me that cup as well. There's not water. Everybody always asks me what's in there. Sometimes it's water. Sometimes it's tea. Sometimes it's Dr. Pepper. Today it is a razor berry from our friends at Seven Brew. They just opened up in Universal City. I don't own any stock in the company, but they have been very good to Living Way. And so I stopped earlier today. Stop by. Tell them that you heard about them at Living Way. And they got free drinks on, I think, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning. And go by and be a blessing to them because they've been a blessing to us. Also, I'm going to have to take off these glasses because I can't see past the first row. And that's the whole point of me wearing these glasses. So they either need to be cleaned or God has healed me. I don't know. But one of the things, maybe a little bit of both. I see some smudges on them. Let's go to the Word of God, shall we? Shall we? That's why we came. James 4, verse 7. This is the NIV, a very familiar, dare I say, popular scripture. But we never quote the first part. We always quote the last part. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil. Resist the devil and he might flee from you. It's not what the Bible says. He could flee from you. Now the Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. We're talking about the price of freedom. The price of freedom. Turn to your neighbor and tell them freedom isn't free. Tell them it's going to cost you something. Tell them it cost me something. Tell them it cost somebody before us something. Freedom is not free. You may be seated. Just to stay here just for a moment in our original text here. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil. And he will flee from you. Pastors love to preach in such a way that makes them sound smarter than they really are or that we really are. We like to complicate the Word of God. The Bible says that the Word of God, the gospel, is so simple, a wayfaring man can find it. When you actually break down wayfaring, it says someone who is not even looking for that can find it. So the simplicity of the gospel is sometimes made complex by men and women. We do that to make us look smarter. We do that so that people will come to us. But I want to encourage you as a pastor to go to God for yourself, to read the Word of God. Anything that is said across this pulpit to you, you need to judge every word by the word. You need to go home and make sure that I didn't have a bad week or miss God. Praise God. You need to make sure that what the Word of God that is being taught and preached is actually what God said. And so from the very, very beginning of this series, The Price of Freedom, the Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. We love to make it very, very difficult. We love to make phone calls and emails and invite pastors and spiritual leaders to come and exorcise demons and to come lay hands and to come do all of these things when the Bible says resist. You know how you resist? No. Tell the devil no. It's that simple. You tell the devil no, and you give no place for the devil to have work or to move in your life, in your family, in your mind, or in your spirit. God's plan for every person here at Living Way and on the face of the earth is to first receive freedom from sin. We were born with a sin problem, Living Way, but Jesus has come and has already paid the price for our freedom from sin. But Jesus also came so that we could experience freedom on this earth in every area of our lives. I want to encourage you, if your marriage is not free, God wants it free. If your children are not free, God wants them free. If you're not free in your mind, God wants it free. If you're not free in your money, in your relationships, God wants to bring freedom. But it is Satan's plan that every person would be a slave to sin. Slave meaning that you work and you don't want to work and you're pressed and you're beat and you're not compensated and you live in conditions that are below what God wants you to have. It is Satan's plan to rob you of all the freedom that God has given you. Remember this, if the devil can't take you to hell, he will do his best to make your life hell on earth. See, my life is already in the hands of God. 23 years ago when I said yes to Jesus, the devil lost another one. I believe there have been boardroom meetings in hell about me and my life. I believe that the devil has told all of his little minions, we're not going to be able to take Brandon to hell, but let's bring hell to Brandon and make every day of his life miserable. But I have come to remind the devil, he is a defeated foe. I've come to remind the devil that the blood of the cross still flows red. It is still fresh. I've come to remind Satan that Luke 9:1 says that Jesus has given all power and authority to his disciples to heal the sick, preach the gospel, and cast out the devil. The adversary's goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. Therefore, his goal is to rob you of your freedom, to enslave your mind, your body, your spirit, your relationships, your health, your money, anything that is directly connected to you. How does Satan keep us from freedom? Or how does Satan rob us of our freedom? He does it in four distinct ways, and I believe every tool he uses will fall under these four. Number one, he distracts our mind. How does he distract our mind? Through worry. I said it the other day, and somebody retweeted it, and I had to go back and add it to my notes. You can't worry and worship. You can't worship God while you worry. Because worship is an act of faith. Worship is saying, God, you're good in spite of what I'm going through. And if you are good and I'm connected to you, what I'm going through will turn out good. Therefore, I will not worry. I will worship you, God. There's a freedom in that. But it distracts our mind through worry, through anxiety, through fear, through negativity. The second way is he wounds our spirit. He wounds our spirit through depression. I want to be very, very clear that depression has been called a lot of things, but depression is a spiritual attack. That's why there is no such thing as antidepressants. They are not going to fix anything. They're just going to numb you to what is already happening. But I've come to tell you that Jesus has come to free your mind and free your spirit. I'm here to tell you that you don't have to be depressed not one moment longer. You can come to the altar right now and we will stop this service and pray and break the hold and the stronghold of depression. Because if you're depressed, you ain't free. And if you're not free, you're not what God has created you to be. How does he wound our spirit? He wounds our spirit not only through depression, but through hate, racism, unforgiveness, bitterness. He wants us to hate one another. Because if we hate one another, it's impossible for us to love God. You say, I don't know if that's right. The Bible says, Jesus said, how can you say that you love a God who you have not seen, but you hate a brother who you see every day? That is, let me remind you, created in the image of God. Can I encourage you? And let me not just encourage, can I reprimand somebody today and tell you that there will be no racism in heaven? So if there is hate in your heart on this earth, you are not going to make the trip. But God has come to free you from hate today. I don't want you to hate your ex-spouse. I don't want you to hate your baby mama. I want you to love and walk in love with everyone. Doesn't mean you have to be best friends. Doesn't mean you have to have cookouts and reunions. What it means is in spite of your hate to me, I turn the other cheek. I pray for those that persecute. Why? Because I'm free and I'm trying to keep my freedom. Turn to your neighbor and tell them it's not worth it. Tell him, keep your freedom. The third way that he keeps us from freedom or robs us of our freedom is wrong relationships. The people in our lives distract us from freedom. People in our lives, their chains become our chains. If you're not strong enough to cut someone else's chains, you better be careful being friends with them, because their chains will become your chains. For those of you who don't know, Pastor Mandy's first job was a lifeguard. She was a lifeguard at Schlitterbahn. And she told me, and I've always heard this, and I just heard it again because we've been having these riptides out on the coast, and a lot of people have been getting caught in these riptides. If someone is drowning, you better be a very strong swimmer. Because if you go to save that person that is drowning, their panic while they're drowning, they will use you as their personal flotation device. And will drown you when you were trying to save them. Can I encourage you? You better check your freedom. You better check your freedom before you hang out with her on Friday night. You better check your freedom before you go on vacation with them. You better, singles, you better check your freedom before you go to Santico's on a date or you head back to his place or her place. Why? Because they're drowning. They're not free. And if you ain't free enough to bring them freedom, you need to stay away from them and work on yourself and make sure that I'm free, but I'm going to do everything I can do to stay free. Somebody say no more wrong relationships. And fourth and finally, which all of these are a derivative of, the way that he robs us of freedom is a lack of relationship, real relationship with Jesus. We are still in the throes of putting together some classes on how to pray, how to study your Bible and all of these things. But can I just tell you, until we teach those classes, the way you pray is just like you talk to your wife. Actually, you know what? Maybe don't talk to God like that. But just in conversation with God, the doth and the saith and all of these King James words, prayer is talking to God. Every relationship that I have that is fruitful and beneficial takes communication. And when I'm talking to my friends and my family, I'm not always on. Can I just say it like that? I can't always verbalize how I'm feeling. I just talk. You know, sometimes when I'm talking to God, I can't verbalize what I need. I just love talking to God. See, that's what relationship is. Just knowing he's with me is enough. Just knowing that I'm not facing it by myself is enough. Freedom, just like peace, is not the absence of people trying to take away that freedom. It is the presence of God, that in his presence there is a fullness, there is liberty, there is freedom. So I want to encourage you. You have tried the rest. Now it's time that you try the best. Not trying church, not trying a religion, not trying a Sunday, but literally saying, God, I'm going to spend time with you and pursue a real relationship with you. So the enemy tries it in our minds, our spirit, wrong relationships. or a lack of relationships with Jesus. But John 8:36 says this, if the Son therefore shall make you free, then you shall be free indeed. There is no second guessing. There is no question mark. If the freedom that you receive comes through Jesus, it is a real freedom. It's not fake. It's not faux. It's not temporary. The freedom that I found in Jesus is so good that there is no duplication. There is no replication. There is nothing like it. There is nothing close to it. As glad as I am that we live in the great United States of America, as glad as I am that we live in the great Republic of Texas, the freedom that I have as a U.S. citizen and a citizen of Texas, it pales in comparison to the fact that my name and your name as a believer is written down in glory, that God knows me by name and has counted the hairs on my chin, praise God. He knows who I am, knows what I'm going through, and the freedom that I received July of 1999, when I got saved, I'm still enjoying that freedom today. There's nothing like the real freedom that comes through Jesus Christ. Batten down the hatches and fasten your seatbelt. Culture tries to affirm your bondage. Culture tries to affirm your bondage. Man, culture is going crazy, church. They're trying to affirm your bondage and give it a less damning title. Instead of calling out the devils and what many people are going through and giving them Jesus, society has begun to use labels such as mental disorders. They have prescribed medicine to manage the symptoms. However, I must remind you, church, Jesus did not come to manage your symptoms. Jesus did not come to soothe the fragile emotional state of people. Jesus did not come to counsel you through your crisis. Jesus did not come to affirm your demonic possession. Jesus came, and I quote Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, proclaim freedom for the prisoners and the recovery of sight to the blind, and to set the oppressed free. Jesus did not come to do what most say he came to do. Jesus came to flip the tables of culture and say, I'm the only one that can do what you need done. President Trump failed. President Biden is failing. The next president will fail. Our school system is failing. Our parents are failing. We do not need more legislation. We do not need more education. What we need is a country that will humble themselves, call out to God, turn from their wicked ways, and then, and only then, will God hear our cry, touch our land, and heal our people. There's no such thing as woke Jesus. There's no such thing as progressive Jesus. I wish pastors would quit telling me what Jesus would be doing in 2023. I wish pastors would quit telling me how Jesus would vote in 2023. I'm not even sure Jesus would vote, because the Bible says the government will be on his shoulders, and to that government there will be no end. I am here to tell you, I know what Jesus would be doing in 2023. Exactly what he was doing in Luke 4:18. He was preaching the gospel, delivering the captives, and healing the sick. The price of freedom. It's beyond me that people are gathered today in churches and they walk in bound and no one ever addresses their slavery. They talk about how much money they need. They talk about building programs. They talk about political landscape. And they talk about social landscape. But there are hundreds and let me just back up. There are millions of people that are walking into church slaves, and they're walking out slaves. We do not want to be that church. We are a Jesus church. If you walk in chains, there's a chain breaker. If you walk in sick, there's a great physician. If you walk in bound, all we've got the greatest exorcist ever. His name is Jesus. And if you try to give me freedom without Jesus, I know that you're lying to me. When those politicians look in the camera every 4 years and make us promises, if it's outside of Jesus, I know they're lying to us. And some of them are not even hateful or mean-spirited, and they're not even trying to lie. They're just telling you what they think they're capable of. But I have not put my trust in horses or chariots. I have put my trust in the one and only God. His name is Jesus. As a pastor, I'm tired of preachers and pastors tiptoeing around sensitive topics, because they're afraid of offending people. They're afraid of triggering people. Or could it be that they don't want to stir up what they can't cast out? I'm not coming at you, church. I'm coming after every demon and devil that would love to drag you and your family to hell. I'm coming after every demon that would love to pervert what love is. I'm coming after every spirit that is confusing a generation on their gender. I'm coming after every devil that wants hate and racism to rule our world. I'm coming after every demon that has made it okay to rip out and murder unborn babies. I am here to tell you, I have received freedom, but I haven't got fat on freedom. I'm looking for another slave to free. I'm looking for someone in bondage to break off those chains. If he's done it for me, if he's done it for you, he can do it for anybody. They've started changing the names. They call it abortion because baby murder doesn't sound quite as good. They call it gender fluidity and trans this because genital mutilation doesn't sound as appealing. You say, Pastor, there's kids in here. I know there's kids in here. They're coming after your kids. They're wanting to put on drag shows at the library. And if it happens at the library, that's just a taste test before they move it into your schools. They're wanting to take your kids, because if they can indoctrinate your kids now, when they get to 18, 20, 22, 24, those will be the voting voices. But I am here to tell you, not on our watch. We've got these kids. We're going to protect those kids. We're going to put them in the hand of God. We're going to put them in the presence of God. My freedom doesn't mean jack squat if I can't pass it to the next generation. Think about that while we're barbecuing hot dogs. Think about that when your little kid is holding the sparkler or like at my house shooting each other with Roman candles. That your freedom doesn't mean anything if it dies with you. We are 2,000 years after, and the freedom of the cross is still alive today because men and women refused on their watch. Where are the watchmen on the wall? Where are the standers in the gap? Where are the intercessors and the faith-filled people? If that's you, stand on your feet and say, not on my watch. Not on my watch. You may be seated just for a couple more minutes. 2.5 million people in our city, and we're arguing about who's going to church where. I don't care if you go to Cornerstone. I don't care if you go to New Creation. I don't care if you go to CBC. You just go to the church God wants you to go to. Make sure that they know how to pray. Make sure they know how to heal. Make sure they know how to cast out devils, and we're going to win our city. But we cannot depend on the voting polls, and we cannot depend on just the evangelists, the pastors, and the worship leaders. We need everybody who's received freedom.